Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans.
FERAL Audio.
Waggy, daggy, waggy, daggy, wag. I'm going to close some windows here on my top just so I can try to stay focused a little more. I'm not multitasking. I'm not going to close my Skype. We'll keep a note or two open just to keep my mind refreshed about what we have planned today, which is not much. Let's kick things off with a call. Katrina.
Oh, g'day. Oh, no, this isn't Katrina. I'm using my girlfriend's Skype. But,
all right.
I tried to call in last week, but I was having some Skype issues, so I thought I'd use my girlfriend's.
Okay. TMI, as we say in the States, but go for it.
Yeah, I just had a question for you, if that's all right.
Okay.
All right. I really enjoyed that tune of yours, Mid-Century Modern Matters.
Yeah.
Problems, sorry.
Mid-Century Modern Problems. Modern Problems.
Well, I'm a musician, and I had a crack at recording a cover of it.
Oh yeah, can we hear it?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear your version of Mid-Century Modern Problems a little bit, because you know the audio is not going to be great coming through the Skype. So let's get a little taste.
Well, okay. Well, I'm just talking to you through my phone, so I'll bring it up on my iTunes. Actually, I needed clarification on a couple of lyrics as well. So
okay, let's talk about that after we get the sample. If
yeah. I kind of like the pettyishness of it, but I'm a massive Who fan. And after I couldn't get through last week, I was really impressed that you spoke to Rabbit Bundrick's wife.
Yeah, wasn't that cool? it's about as close to the rock gods as we're going to get on this show, I fear. But
absolutely.
So wait,
so I'll play it.
Whatever you just played sounded terrible quality-wise. Just audio fidelity. So let's just try it again. Well, see if maybe you can get a better placement on your microphone. Just give it one more shot. I'm honored you covered it. Let me just say that. Go ahead.
Let me know if it sounds horrible.
Oh yeah, yes. It sounds good. I mean, it sounds bad coming through the connection we have. Do you have what do you have it on? SoundCloud or YouTube or something?
Well, I actually Facebook messaged it to you about a week ago.
I didn't see it. So listen, can you post it in the comments on the show today?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to hear it through my good speakers. I want to play it through my black poons. My black poons. Okay? I want to hear it as it should be heard. Very, very flattered. I had it up on my SoundCloud myself, and then I took it down. Just been kind of like sometimes I'll get the itch to put stuff out. And then I'm like, well, I might actually record this at some point with a band and stuff. So I don't know. I put stuff up, and then I go really private with it. So...
I love the sort of ramshackle demo nature of it. It sounded, it kind of reminded me of like a Nick Lowe.
Yes. Like there's a lot of Jesus. There's a lot of that going on there for sure.
Yeah.
Nick Lowe, Jesus is cool.
Nick Lowe.
Me too.
Lowe fan. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to hearing that track. We're going to keep the call.
No worries. I'll post it. I'll post it now.
G'day, mate.
Thanks.
Cool. And that's a positive way to start the show. This is Tyler Cassens.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's up, bud? Where are you calling from?
I'm from Denton, Texas.
Oh, that's let me name check that with the mountain goats, right?
It's Denton.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the song, the best death metal band from Denton, Texas?
No.
No?
What are they called?
No, it's a song by the band The Mountain Goats.
The Mountain Goats.
Yeah, and the song is about the best death metal band out of Denton is the name of the song.
Okay.
So look into that now.
Oh, okay, I see it. I see it, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was all I wanted to say.
You just wanted to say where you're from?
Yeah.
All righty. Take care,
Tyler.
All
right, thanks, Tim.
But let's see. Man's Turbo. Mano Turbo.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
What's up?
I'm just a longtime fan calling from Shanghai.
Shanghai! Yeah, baby! Yeah. You win the international award!
Hi. I'm pretty nervous right now.
Don't be nervous. You're with friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I just need to be at ease, I guess. How's it going?
What are you doing in Hong Kong?
Shanghai.
I knew it was Shanghai. I thought. Shanghai. Yeah. First of all, mute your stream because I'm hearing my own voice in the background there.
Oh yeah.
So.
Got it.
Wait a minute.
Oh shit.
I swear. I thought Shanghai in my brain, and I said that's not right, so I changed it to Hong Kong.
Oh yeah.
But you're in Shanghai. Would you teach in English?
No, I'm not teaching English yet. I'm not white, so.
What are you?
No, I'm not white, so I don't.
What are you if you're not white?
Because they only hire you if you're white here.
Where are you from originally?
Malaysia.
Ah, Malaysia. Okay, so what are you doing in Shanghai?
Just working for a video production company. Actually, it's more like events. They do like VJ kind of stuff, and I'm the video editor.
We forget sometimes
that it is a big, big world out there with all kinds of stuff going on. It's so narrow-minded. I got to check myself here. It's a very narrow-minded mentality for me to just jump to the conclusion that you're over there teaching them English. Like, that's the only...
But oh, no, no. That's like a cliche here. Like, you know, like, really expats come here, like, they, you know, and they teach English. Because they're like... It's kind of like a joke among, like, you know, like, people who come here. Because, like, you know, that's the easiest thing you could do, like, you know.
Right.
They just hire people from, like, London or Australia or... Yeah. Or like the United States, like, you know, they, like, you know, they, you know,
all right. So how, yeah. do you have a question in mind, or do you have something you want to say? Besides, I'm sort of leading this conversation. I don't feel like I need to or don't want to. Yeah.
No, I'm just real interested in, like, you know, the, you know, how your comedy seems to have, you know, developed. Like, you know, I was real interested in, like, how, you know, you got Vic on board, kind of like Vic Berger, like, you're doing stuff with him, and you guys covered the Democratic convention and the Republican, like, you know.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff. I was just wondering, like, you know, was that always like a thing that you're interested in, or like, I understand, like, you guys were trying to be, like, more bipartisan, like, you weren't necessarily trying to, you know, take a side or anything.
Well,
but I don't know what's.
I mean, listen. Let's be honest. I'm partisan. I'm clearly. I don't view both sides equally, but I think when it came to Super Deluxe, there were from their perspective, it was like you should cover both, and so that's fair. And I think we had fun at both events. Got some good stuff out of it. I met Vic because he was a fan of On Cinema and had made videos, sort of tribute videos that you can find on YouTube. And they were funny and they were well made and stuff. So we started communicating. He's from my hometown. And, you know, I've been sort of encouraging his career ever since.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I love his stuff. But, yeah, your work has been getting, like, really, you know, more like into politics lately, which I wouldn't say that, you know, your work was never political. Like, you know, you'd always do stuff about, like, you know, even in Awesome Show, you're doing, you know, you had this kind of, like, you know, the media's lying to you, you know, that kind of angle, which is weird because it's like with the Trump and his supporters, that's basically his angle now. It's like, you know, the media's lying to you. Like, what do you think about that? Like, you know. Well, you think, like, politicians are becoming more like comedians now? Yeah.
Well, I don't. I mean, I would argue that first of all, my extracurricular activities perhaps are more political than they used to be. But, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and we're still making TV shows that, you know, we're working on bedtime stories right now, and there's all sorts of other stuff that's not really political. But, you know, when I'm expressing myself on Twitter or something like that, you know, I've been doing that since 2008, pretty much. And every time I do, somebody tells me that this is the end of my career because I'm doing it. But, you know, it's been eight prosperous years of work for me, so there's no evidence there. And then, you know, the songwriting, I just I love making music, and sometimes there's things that inspire me, you know, that or lead me down a road to write. So that's this year really has been, this has been the most important thing in I think a lot of people's lives, including mine, what's been going on in the world and politics in the United States. So it's I don't know, I've let go of sort of the inhibition to not get into it, because I think I'd go crazy if I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, sir. Great. and good talking to you. So, anyways, I'm back. Who do I have on the line?
Hi, it's Will.
Hello, Will. Where are you calling
Hi.
From, mate? Where are you calling?
Well, you can take a guess. You can take a guess, can't you? I'm calling from London.
Groovy.
And, you know, I'm sick today, so I've just been not even working from home, just sick from home. So it's been a good day to call.
What do you got?
I just my head feels like a hot air balloon.
Oh, man.
It's just the flu. It's just the flu. Nothing crazy.
Well, don't give it to me.
I'm giving you all kinds of e-viruses. Your computer's going to get real red and swollen.
No wonder we're crashing. I call as soon as I pick on me, pick up on you. We're down.
Yeah, sorry. I'm ashamed.
How can I help you today? I hope you feel better. What's going on?
Thanks. I appreciate it. I just had a quick recap / question. When you did the billion-dollar movie screening in London, I went there, and I think at some point, either in between, there was an intermission, and we all went out, and I basically kind of quite awkwardly got you and Eric to sign my copy of Ulysses, because that's the only thing I had in my bag to sign, apart from a really shitty printout of a chippy JPEG. Uh-huh. And when I handed you the copy of Ulysses, I said, it's a bit. And then you, without even hesitating, said, it's a bit lowbrow for us. And so I thought, that's good.
I'm a quick-witted one.
Yeah. It was good to, because, you know, I hadn't had that experience before. So it was good to know that, you know, I was in safe hands. But I was just wondering, you mentioned that you don't, maybe fiction isn't your primary medium for entertainment, but I was wondering if there were any books that did influence your approach or the way you write your sketches and situations, and if not, if I could recommend you one, which I think would be a shoo-in for the whole bedtime stories vibe.
I'll be happy to take a recommendation. Why don't you go ahead with the recommendation, and I will I'll add to that with my reading list.
Sure. Well, because it's just a book of short stories. They're very short, and the guy writes in quite a weird but clear way. They're very clear to read. It's by this author called Thomas Ligotti, Ligotti, and he's billed as a horror writer, but basically he writes horror stories, which are just, they're horrible because they're just absurdly depressing and absurd. Wow.
Sounds good. But, I'm gonna read all his books right now on the air.
Yeah.
While you wait.
Well, he's only got three, so you could do that. It wouldn't be that much of a challenge if
see, a mod. Oh, he's 63 years old, born in Detroit.
Yeah.
Influenced by H.P. Lovecraft, Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah.
But the thing that most people don't get is that he's actually really funny. Like, these stories are actually funny when you look at just on the face of them. There's one story that opens with a guy in a factory, and he just goes there assembling bits of metal into other bits of metal, and he doesn't know what they do, and everyone's just working there, and they're working faster. They're going home, sleeping, coming to work early, spending less time in their apartment, and then eventually they're just sleeping in this factory, kind of waking up just to do their job, and then just sleeping for 2 hours, and then eventually they find out that they're never going to go home again, and they're never going to retire, so they're just going to work until they die. So it's that kind of, you know, just.
That's
depressing,
great. Yes,
small town. I will look into it. Small town vibe.
All right. So here are a few books for me or authors, I should say. I mean, you know, there's nothing that outrageous there. Obviously, Kurt Vonnegut. I devoured all of his books when I was in high school, and I think that's very influential for me. A lot of sci-fi, comedy, horror, and big ideas going on in those books. Charles Portis, I'm a big fan of, and one book that came to mind when you brought up your boy there was The Mezzanine by Nicholson Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a great book, I mean.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's many more. I do would love to get back into novel reading, but I just got this stack of biographies and historical books and current events books and stuff that just keep piling up on my bedroom night table. That, but I'll look into your guy. That sounds like something I could use. I read a good book this last year that was called the. This is my problem. I don't remember any of the names of these things. The Book of Mysterious Things? It was sort of a sci-fi book about this couple that gets split up. One goes up to become a missionary on another planet. Does that ring a bell to anybody out there? Anyways, he tries to convert these aliens to Christianity.
That's good.
Book of I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a weirdly generic title, so it's not coming to me. All right. Thanks for the recommendations and love books. You got to read if you're going to you're going to breathe. Hey, Josh, are you there?
I am here.
How can I help you today? Josh Christensen.
Yes. I'm calling from Philly, by the way.
Yeah. Mr. Trump's heading to Philly right now.
I was not aware of that. He really is.
Yeah. He's okay. going to speak down there and, I think we should all start. I'd love to get a tambourine parade going outside of the convention, or get outside of his wherever he's speaking, and just start getting some tambourines going out there. You know what I mean?
I mean, according to Vic, Trump would hate that, so that's perfect.
Well, you know, I actually told Vic about this last night or yesterday afternoon. I was tweeting about it. I guess I don't know if I can't really say where I heard this from, but I did hear it. From a pretty decent source that's kind of close to his organization, he hates tambourines. And I think he's scared of them. He's actually has a phobia about tambourines.
That's very specific.
Isn't that specific and stupid and not? So I think, I mean, you know, it's, I enjoy bothering him.
Of course. So
I'm trying to encourage people to just send him as much tambourine stuff and get tambourines more and more into his life.
Well, I own multiple tambourines and sleigh bells and all kinds of weird percussion that I'm sure we could really annoy him with.
I mean, if you can spare one, you know the address to send it to.
Sure, I will. I will definitely do that.
Okay. Well, how can I help you today?
It's a tangentially related question to the last one, but I was wondering if you had any lesser known 2016 films that you could recommend.
2016 films?
That you think the general populace may have not noticed or got kind of like overlooked.
Let me think. I'm really behind on my movies that I feel like I need some catching up to do. With the kids and work and everything, I'm just not watching enough movies as I used to. The one that from last year that I thought was really great that kind of got swept under the rug, Patton Oswalt actually turned me on to it, was Bone Tomahawk. Did you see Bone
Tomahawk? Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really fucking scary.
It was. I was not expecting that twist at all. I thought we were going in for just like a normal Western.
Yeah. Well, don't give anything away, but it was truly shocking, and I thought it was really well performed by everybody. And sorry, buddy. I've been enjoying? I tell you, The Young Pope.
Really? I've not seen it.
I'm curious to see what people think of this. It's wild. It's like, you know, especially the first episode, the pilot was very art filmy. It was just crazy, beautiful, and but weirdly funny. And it's just a different tone, it's fully European. It's fully like, I think it's made in, you know, fully made by Italians and. It just has a completely different sense of humor and of style that is refreshing to me. It's absurd in a way. There's absurd qualities to it, and I'm sure it's getting made fun of by a lot of people because of that.
Sure,
and
it's
but I don't know. I think it's cool. My wife and I are like, I think we like this show.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that from looking at the advertising at all.
No, but check it out. Check out the pilot and see if you're like, if you're up for it. It feels like something you just got to be up for and kind of go along with the ride a little bit. But anyways, thanks, Josh.
Thanks.
Send that tambourine in.
Will do.
Tyler.
Tim.
Hey.
Yeah, I figured out a question to ask you.
All right.
Do you like pineapple on your pizza?
I do like pineapple. You know what I've been doing with pineapple? It's going to blow What's your that? Mind. This yeah. morning I did it. I've been doing it. Is I make a couple of fried eggs in coconut oil, and then I have some pineapple chunks with it.
Hey, that's perfect.
Yeah. Thanks, Tyler.
Hey.
Skyla.
And then I have some pineapple chunks with it.
Skyla.
Hey.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Can you mute your stream, please?
Oh, yes. Hi. Hi, Tim.
Hi. How can you? I help you today? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a question, a comment, and a concern.
All right.
All right. My question is, are you going to do a Super Bowl song? My comment is, I really like your Super Bowl songs. And what was the other one?
Complaint.
My concern is that you're not going to do a Super Bowl song.
I like that quite a bit. That's very clever how you used all those three together. Yeah. You know, it's very. Yeah. Let's give her a round of applause on the comments with some hearts and thumbs up, because that really made the show special today.
Thank you.
It's Lady Gaga, right?
Yeah.
And when is the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
When is the Super Bowl, folks?
I think it's like a couple of weeks.
Can anyone tell me? I can't look at the boards right now. The comments. Can you see them? Where is the damn information on the Super Bowl?
It's February 5th.
February 5th?
Yep.
And what is it, Lady Gaga?
It's Lady Gaga, which I'm a huge fan of her. I've seen her twice.
Ra ra siskumbab, rum bam skiskumba, right? I don't know, man. I feel like I don't know if I think of an angle, maybe I just don't know if I have an angle on her. I like her. I think I do like her. I don't have a big problem with her. Not that I had a big problem with anybody else either. I just sometimes, you know, I was in the zone. So I don't know.
Come on. You didn't do one last year. And I was
well,
really
I was,
good.
I had, what was last year? Red Hot Chili Peppers?
It was Coldplay.
Was it Coldplay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it. I don't just, you know, it's gotta come from my heart. I feel like it feels like an obligation, and then it becomes work, and then it becomes not fun.
So Madonna and Katy Perry and the Black Eyed Peas, they all give you inspiration.
I guess so. Or the idea of doing a Super Bowl song was exciting at the time. Mm. It just doesn't feel like a time for games. Yeah. We're not living in a time for games right now. Okay?
Yeah, it's true.
Anyways, thank you for your interest. I can only do so much. As Regis Philbin said, which he called his book, I'm only one man. We'll see, though. Maybe I'll surprise you, okay?
Well, I'll be looking forward to it.
So. All right. Thank you for the encouragement, and always thank you for your
right,
support.
Cool. Bye.
Let's talk to Jason Velasquez.
We'll see the surprise, okay?
Well, I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Your stream, please, Jason.
All right. Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Okay. How can I help you today?
I'm good. I have a question. Maybe like 2 weeks ago, I was on like a Marc Maron podcast binge, and I ran across yours, and I saw or I heard that at one point after college you lived in New York. Currently I'm living in New York, and I'm actually thinking about moving to California, and I know that Glendale's in California and everything, and like, you know, a lot of the music I have like grown up around and listened to and stuff are mostly like from California, and like a lot of bands I like really praise California. Like, I'm really into Foxygen right now.
Yeah.
And
Foxygen's new record, Hang, out now. I love it.
Yes, go get it. It's freaking awesome. I saw them at Rep Trade, and I met Sam and Rado, and they were like the sweetest guys ever. And
you haven't met me yet, baby.
Yeah, they're great people. And yeah, Foxgen, let's plug that. But
so you want to know, should I move to California?
Yeah, basically. Like, what was something you really didn't like about New York that just made you want to go to California and stuff? Because I'm really thinking about it, you know?
Well, like, my story was like, you know, we got the this offer to do Tom Goes to the Mayor, really to just to write us like a development script for it. But Eric was still living in Philly and I was in New York, and our main mentor, Bob, was in L.A. And so it seemed like if we were going to make this show, we would need to be near him. And we were both looking for a change, and that motivated the decision to move out there and really jump into the deep end with the whole thing. But I was not upset about leaving New York. It had, the winters were really starting to get me crazy because, you know, there's so much public transit. I was taking subways, walking to the subway, which was not close to where my apartment was. It was close, but it was like a good 5-7 minute walk. And, you know, February, I just remember thinking like the wind pounding my face. Like, this is really putting me in a bad mood. And I had a lousy job there that I didn't like. And I had good friends, but it felt like the bar scene was getting old, you know, like going out and drinking every night or every weekend. And I know I was just ready for a move. I didn't know if exactly I was going to like California or not. But I did notice a couple great things pretty quickly from, you know, as soon as I got out here. Was A, you know, being able to like go to the grocery store and put groceries in a trunk of a car and drive them home, you know, was very liberating from coming from living in a place where you'd have to, you know, buy as much as you can put in a couple of plastic bags or something and then walk 6 blocks in the snow, you know, with your 6-pack of beer and white bread. Mm-hmm. You know, just the quality of living kind of rose up a little bit. And I found the people to be kind of nicer, like just go back to the grocery store again. The people that you were, you know, the checkout lady at the grocery store had like a smile on her face. In Brooklyn, it was not the case, you know, and it was just like an attitude was a little different. And it was warming to my soul. So I do like it out here. There's way too many people here, so I do discourage anyone coming because, the you know, if it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you're trying to go south on the 5, you're sitting in bumper to bumper. So that happened to me yesterday and didn't make me too pleased. Mm-hmm. But something to consider, if you're going to do it, do the cross-country drive. Put that down on your bucket list. All right, Jason, I got to go. Yeah. Good luck to you. Let's take a call from Drew Dowdlin.
Tim?
Hey!
Tim?
Hey!
Do you hear me?
Yeah!
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, how can I help you?
I'm wearing headphones right away because I want to be considerate and nice and make it sound good for everybody.
Thanks. How can I help you today?
How's it going?
It's going good.
I've called in a few times. You probably don't remember me. I'm your NPR boy. I work at NPR station.
Oh, yes. I never remember. You're the boy I never remember.
I know. I got to say that. So I don't want to assume anything.
It's weird because Drew Dowdlin, that's a name I would remember. I remember other people's names, but Drew Dowdlin gets lost.
Oh, he might remember me someday. But I had a question that will totally fall flat if you don't know what I'm talking about. But I really want to ask if you've ever seen the films by the director Roy Anderson?
Nope.
Fuck!
Well, what are we talking about here? What should I know about Roy Anderson?
Well, I don't know how seriously you'll take a recommendation from a stranger, but I highly, highly suggest that you try watching one of his movies. He only has a few movies, but I think they
are...
What
era?
2000s. He just made one last year, but he made a trilogy of movies over the last 15 years.
Okay. Roy Anderson. We'll look into it. Thanks, Drew.
Oh, you got it.
Sorry, Drew. Thomas.
Yes, hello.
How can I help you today, Thomas?
Hey, I was wondering, how did you come across or come into contact with Nathan Fielder? Because he's with Absolutely, correct?
Yes.
Yes, I was just wondering kind of the story behind that.
Well, Nathan had a little bit of a thing going up in Canada, so he was a little well-known mm-hmm. in the community up there, and he had gotten cast on John Benjamin Has a Van, which one-season wonder from John Benjamin on Comedy Central that we produced, which was the first show we really produced outside of our own work. And so he was on that show. I think he was beloved by everybody. He was a standout, kind of made everyone laugh. And then, you know, this is not didn't have much to do with me or Eric per se, but I think he had an idea for a show and came to Dave Kneebone here, our partner, and they went in and pitched it, and off we went.
Very nice. Cool.
Thanks, Thomas.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Thank you. Mr. Trump is afraid of tambourines. Maybe I could ask this question to my audience to get a conversation going. What are you afraid of? Thomas.
Hey, Bubba.
What's up, dude?
Nothing. It's about goddamn time.
Sorry,
man. Trying to get through.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best for you.
I know, Bubba. I know. You lost weight? Are you gaining weight? What's the story on that?
I'm taking off a few pounds, man. I'm looking out for, I'm just, you know, not doing sweets right now. And not doing too much bread and not drinking too much. So, you know, you start doing that, you start losing the weight.
How about you? Yeah, you're going to lose that weight pretty damn fast. Oh, yeah. What was I going to say? Fuck, I forgot what I was going
to
tell you.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, see you, dude.
See you, dude. That's my boy, Tommy. Tommy boy. Matt Brewster. Hey, Matt Brewster.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I am having a fantastic day, and it's only getting better.
Where are you calling from?
I am in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I've been wanting to ask for as long as I can remember, so having this platform is just fantastic. How does a guy that, works in the business, perhaps as a video editor himself in the world of television, how does he get himself in a position to work with a Tim Heidecker?
Well, a lot of folks, I hate to say it, come in through the internship program, and they, you know, there's people that come in and just work hard, stay late, get assigned smaller projects, little, you know, promo videos or little, you know, one-off things, and if they demonstrate a sensibility that connects with us, then they stick around. That's just about all there is to it.
It's just that easy.
It can be if you're like, you know, not a pain in the ass and you're not a bad guy or girl and, you work hard and you got the touch, then the future is yours.
Wow. Yeah. You make it seem like it's within my grasp. I feel like
I suppose it is.
You know, I fall into those categories. I've got a clean slate, a clean record.
Good for you, man. All right, Matt, we'll send in your stuff, and maybe we'll take a look at you and see what's going on.
That sounds fantastic. You have a great day.
Thanks, Matt. Angel Garten.
Sleeps.
Hello.
Hi, Angel. How are you?
Good, Tim. How are you?
Real good. Let me just thank everybody. Mute the stream, please.
Yep, got it.
Let me thank everybody, by the way, for downloading the Richard Spencer song. We was impressed and moved by you guys putting down some bucks for a good cause, and I think it's encouraging me to make more or songs that I just feel like are going to go out there into the air, at least give you the opportunity to download them and have them on your laptop. So how can I help you?
I got a question for you, Tim. How do you feel about the doomsday clock moving up a half minute?
Tell me more about that. I'm not sure I understand.
There's a doomsday clock that's been going on since the 70s that's supposed to, like, indicate how close to nuclear destruction we are. And because of Trumpy boys' recent developments, it's moved a half minute up.
Wow. And so what is the clock? When is it? How much time do we got?
We got 2.5 minutes left, if I remember correctly.
What?
It's like symbolic to how close to death we are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I wrote another song about this that I put out, and I didn't promote it too much, I don't think, but I recorded it. I recorded two songs with I recorded the Richard Spencer song, and then I recorded this other one that's going to show up on this 100 songs, the 100 days compilation that some good people are putting out. And that song called Trump Talking Nukes is about this fear of sparking a nuclear war. And I, in the song, it's a little autobiographical because I grew up in a time when that was felt like a very real possibility. In the 80s, there was the Soviet Union and there was the United States, and we had all these ICBMs pointed at each other, and I suppose we still do, but it did feel as I got older that it was the risk was getting smaller and smaller. In fact, I just started listening to it last night, but Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, this is his subject, a 5-hour or so podcast on the nuclear war risk, and so I'm excited to read that. It's in my song, I say it's a miracle that it hasn't happened yet, right? I mean, I guess it did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but my Lord, it's certainly something that can happen at any point, whether by intention or through an accidental, the technology that's keeping all this under control is potentially volatile or outdated, or so we're in the middle. Like in the beginning of this Dan Carlin podcast, he says we're kind of in the middle act of this story about, you know, the nuclear concept of weaponry. We don't know how it's going to end. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly terrifying. And if you're not terrified by it, you're ignorant or insane.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just thought it was funny because usually when the clock moves, it's like because of national pressure. And this time the Wikipedia article just lists Trump's nationalism and like everything that Trump has done. And that was enough to move the clock forward, which...
Well, he said so that he says, you know, we need to build up our nuclear defenses. And, you know, for the past, what's striking, what's mental about that is for the past 40 years or 30 years or so, it's been the opposite of that. It's figuring out ways to roll back the insanity that started in the 50s and went through the 60s. You know, like it has been about like trying to step back from that cliff, and testing bans and disarmament and encouraging other countries to pursue other methods, and you know, that's all being thrown up in the air now.
Yep. Well, thank you, Tim.
Okay. Thanks, Angel, for bringing it down. Let's talk to Alec. Alec.
Yes. Hello, Tim.
What's going on?
Yeah. So, look, you love to rip on the Grateful Dead.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Let's get in the ring, pal.
Okay. I let it go the first time, but now I gotta put up some defense here.
I'm ready.
Okay. It just seems to me like you don't like improvised music.
Wrong.
Okay. Well, what do you like then?
I like jazz.
Okay, like what kind of jazz?
I like it all. I like all the jazz. I like Miles Davis. But that's some of that's not improvisational.
But all the jazz cats respect them. I mean, they respect the dead. They see the value in what they're doing.
They do?
Yeah.
Says who?
Branford Marsalis. You know, a lot of the, like, some of the people.
I'm just telling you what I hear with my own ears. It sounds like dog shit.
Okay, but
they can't harmonize together. They sound like crap when they harmonize. Yeah, when they're singing. They sound like little, you know, they just sound like guys that shouldn't be singing.
Okay, well then, I mean, they don't always sing. A lot of what they do is they sing kind of the first part of the song.
And I don't like
their play together.
I don't think their tone is good. Their guitar tones, I hate their guitar tones. I think their two drummers can't play together. They sounds like a bunch of pots and pans falling down a staircase. Okay. I think their song choices generally suck. I mean, they're playing Dancing in the Streets and, you know, these party songs, Moni Moni and crap, like, you know, Not Fade Away. Like, where's the artistry, integrity, and quality in that? The Bob O'Reilly thing? Listen, I know I'm painting broad strokes here. But
yeah,
they only made maybe two good records. Okay, you're not putting on The Dead Go to Heaven. You're not putting on Shakedown Street. You know,
I'm putting on Shakedown Street.
Get out of here! You're not listening to France, whatever that song is. France, come on, man!
Any band that plays together for 50 years will have good output and bad output. That's, I mean, show me a band that doesn't have, you know, off days and. You know, I'll
they never put out any damn records that anybody would. They put out one good, dumb record. Okay, American Beauty. You know why? You look into that. They had a different engineer on that record than they usually do. Okay.
I disagree with that premise. I mean, I think they've had so many good songs that, you know, Ripple, Box of Rain. These songs are emotionally affecting.
They're on one record. Brilliant. Get one record by them. I've been on the record on this. American Beauty is fine. Working Men's Dead, fine. But it also sounds like those guys were just digging into the band. They were just listening to the band and the birds. And that was what was happening in music. They were just like, you know, before those records came out, they were just wailing this psychedelic noise shit. That was, you know, was hot during that period. And then, of course, you know, we have that kind of return to the roots kind of music, country influence, bluegrass influence. And Dylan and the band and the Dillards and Gene Clark and those guys really, you know, changed up what was hip. And who comes in last? Is the Grateful Dead with their trying to sound like the goddamn band.
They branded themselves.
They
were around the same time as the band.
Yeah, but, somebody did it first. Somebody did it first.
Okay.
There's nothing more influential in that period of time than music from Big Pink. Everybody was listening to it. Everybody, the Beatles certainly did Let It Be based on that. Get back to our roots, man. Let's play the old, you know, let's stop with all the overdubs and stuff. Okay? Yeah, so, Grateful Dead comes around, and they're just another group trying to latch on. What they did, which was smart, is they had some good marketing. They had some good iconic, you know, with the skull and the bears, and you had a bunch of dropouts running around following them everywhere.
You think their success is based on their marketing?
Absolutely.
I mean, no one ever gave them a chance.
No one ever gives it. No one ever talks about. No one ever goes to their shows to listen to the music. Why would anyone go to listen to the? Why would anyone go to listen to the Dancing in the Streets for 25 minutes? Listen to that Sirius XM station, and when they play some live show from '82, everyone's there. To try to get laid and to buy drugs. Okay.
I think that station sucks, actually. I agree with you there. But I would say listen to Europe 72.
Oh, God.
And listen to what they're doing live. I mean, you might not like the records, fine. But the stuff that they do live, they do really creative stuff that's akin to jazz. Some of the improvisation, the songs that they have on the records transform and they're different. and they do really interesting stuff, and a lot of people appreciate it, and I just, you know, you don't have to love it, you don't have to like it.
I don't, I hate it.
Why you rip on it all the time.
I hate it. And I hate you.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Just kidding, Alex.
Alec. Well, thank you.
I love you no matter what. I hate Alex. Blake?
Hey, Tim.
What's up?
Hey, I have a couple questions. I don't know if they're all good, but I'll just try and get through them. Would you ever be interested in doing like a VR experience with the kind of comedy that you do? Or do you think that's kind of fundamentally incongruent?
We've been approached by VR and there seems to be like, oh, you guys, this is right up your alley. And my first reaction is a bit like, I don't know. My brain doesn't work that way and everything. And I had a few ideas for it. I do have a few ideas for VR, and I don't personally like the experience, the VR experience. It's kind of neat for about 30 seconds, and then I want to get it the fuck off my head. So, we'll see. If someone shows up with a big bucket of money, I'll do something. I don't know. Let's bring it on.
Uh-huh.
Let's bring it on. All right, Blake.
Go ahead. Yeah?
No, you had a question? Another question?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you mentioned earlier about being afraid of things and what people are afraid of. I've been watching a lot of Kitchen Nightmares, and I had a nightmare recently that I was being yelled at in the kitchen. If you had a restaurant, what kind of food would you cook in your restaurant? Either a food you like or a food you know people would love, that you would love to make.
Say that again.
If you had a restaurant, if you quit, if you dropped everything, except don't drop the music, but you also had a restaurant, what kind of food would you want to make that would make you happy to serve, or that you know you prepare well, that you wouldn't be yelled at by some British guy if he came in your restaurant?
I make a good steak. I make a nice steakhouse for the people.
Mm.
For the people. Okay?
Mushrooms?
Some mushrooms, some cream spinach, a nice tomato, beautiful tomato in season, sliced. Beautiful ribeye fried on the pan. Real nice sear to it. Nice crisp crust. Aged. Serve a nice wine with it. Get some twice-baked mashed potatoes.
Ooh.
Thanks, Blake. We are all getting hungry now. Phil.
Hey, what's up, Tim?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing real good. Got Andrew WK to follow me on Twitter, so it's a great day today for me.
This is a day for celebration.
No question about it. Hey, I wanted to circle back to you. We had talked a couple of office hours ago about some things that were missed in the Decker Unclassified.
Ah, yes.
Series?
You want to try to guess at what I was referring to?
I wanted to guess. Yeah, you said that there was some continuity issue that everybody has missed. And I went back and rewatched and had a few guesses, and I'll take a couple stabs at them.
Go for it.
First, I guess I'm guessing that it has nothing to do with Decker's age. Is that correct?
No, I think it has some issues to it, I suppose, but not
well, glaring. It's established, I think, that he's at least 121 years old when he dies.
I think it's more like 100.
Well, okay, well, he died, I guess I'm basing that on, he died in 2076, and there's actually a... there's a scroll that says Decker has given 100 years of service to his country. Maybe you meant that was his age, but then when he was in the CIA, he was 21 years old. So that's where I'm getting the 121 from.
Right.
All right. But that's not it.
No, that's not it.
Okay, the second guess is it when Decker goes back to stop Pearl Harbor? When he goes back in time?
Yes.
And he goes back and it's 1945.
Right.
And Pearl Harbor occurred.
That's not what I'm – no, that's just like a run-of-the-mill error that I think is
okay.
Not
I didn't think that was it either. All right. But my real guess is it the colonel?
General.
All right.
The general.
He never ages.
General Cotter.
He never ages throughout the whole 76-year time span.
General Cotter shows up in the training sequence. He's in the present days, or 2076. He's all over the place.
Right.
That's the one where we thought, no one's bringing this up, but it makes us laugh that there's this character. We've worried about everybody else. There's somebody's son, somebody's, you know, whatever. And, right. But he's just, you know, eternal. So good work, yeah, Phil.
I appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
Go ahead. All right. Take care, Tim.
Go ahead. You had something else to say.
My fail safe, if it wasn't the general, which I thought that was it, but, was Decker Jr. Well, that would have been my last guess, was Decker Jr.'s age and the fact that Decker would have had to have fathered him probably when he was around 90 or 100 years old.
That could be it, yeah. That could be interesting, too.
Glad I got it.
I think the 100 years of service is sort of spans his life, that, you know, he was born giving service to the country, I guess.
from birth to death.
Yes, that's right.
All right. That.
Thanks, Bill, for your commitment into solving that mystery. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Gives me great joy.
Yes.
Jeffrey Wells.
Hey, Tim.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just got home for lunch to visit my new cat.
Oh.
I just got a cat.
Oh.
It's awesome. Cats are great. I was tired of being alone, and I got a cat.
Well, let me break it to you. You're still alone.
That's very true. I mean, you can pretend. You can give me a little bit, Tim.
All right. You're just fine.
Oh, thank you so much.
His name is
Brady. Huh?
How can I help you today? I don't need to know the cat's name.
Great. You don't need to know.
Do not need to know the cat's name.
Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's gravy anyway, so that's just how it is. I'm just going to tell you. Anyway. Also, never had so many tiny little cuts on my body. No, what I really wanted to ask, and this is because of the cat. What do you do on your sad days? What are your, like, mechanisms to get rid of the blues?
Ooh. Take a walk. I like taking a walk or a little bit of a jog or something. I think that get a little blood flowing, get a little fresh air. Makes me feel like I did something. Yeah, I think that's about all I do. Or, you know, if I listen to some music or watch some TV, you know, something to get your mind off of what's bothering you.
Like the happy music and stuff like that?
Give a friend a phone call. Call up a friend you haven't talked to in a while. Check in on them. Turn the energy away from inward and send it outward.
That sounds actually pretty good. Okay, right, so I go.
Go for it. Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
Have a wonderful day.
What's up?
What?
What's up?
Oh, I just said have a wonderful day. I thought you said
I have one other thing. Sorry. Bye, Jeff. That was very nice. Johnny Lamb. Johnny Lamb. Nice. Johnny
hey,
Lamb. Johnny
up,
Lamb.
What's up?
Johnny Lamb. Yes.
Hey. Sorry, I'm muting my stream right now. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How can I help you, Johnny?
Hey, man. My brother had a question for you. Actually, he just left, but I can ask it. He was wondering about the Jeff Garland podcast. He heard that there was something happened there, and then you guys broke a microphone at his podcast or something.
I don't I remember doing his he did a thing at Largo where he did like an interview and he interviewed us, and I guess he was recording it. He wasn't sure what he was going to do with it. I don't know if it ever came out or not. I don't know if we might have like knocked over something. I do remember, like, I love Jeff's a good guy, and He's always been very nice to us, and but he's verbose and long-winded, and we were with him on stage for like an hour or something, and he was just going on and on and on, and I was like, let's just wrap this up, you know, like, can we wrap this up? And I just, I think Eric and I just kind of looked at each other and said, look, all right, we're going to get out of here. And like, we walked off, and, I don't know if that was considered too rude, but he went on for another 20 minutes and we came out again. And so we're like, all right, thanks for having us. And, anyways, that's my only memory of it. I don't know. Maybe it was a bad interview and he didn't want to put it out or something, but I don't know what happened.
I was imagining that you guys just went full out, just like you went, and those like Sundance interviews, and like created mayhem. And because I think what I heard, and my brother was telling me, is that he was talking to Bill Burr in another interview, and he was saying that you guys were like the Sex Pistols of comedy, and you came in. And
I am a heroin addict.
Created mayhem. I don't know. That's what he's wanted to ask.
Could be. All right. Take care, Johnny. Let's talk. I do want to talk about the recording of the Richard Spencer song to anybody that's interested. Is this R. Bud Bob? No, he's gone. Because it was such a great experience. Benedict Cumberbatch. Benedict.
Hello. Hey. Hey, Tim.
What's up, buddy?
I'm sick in bed.
Oh, everyone's sick today.
Really?
Well, I had another call from the London.
I shouldn't have kissed them all.
No. How can I help you today?
I was just curious what kind of shitty jobs you had growing up.
Well, I was a busboy. I was a dishwasher. I was a landscaper, cut, grass and stuff.
Nice.
Worst was the dishwasher at a family restaurant, one of these grease, grease.
Do they have seafood there?
No seafood, probably, fried shrimp or something like that. But I was always coming home with this like layer of grease all over my arms. And I worked late, it was like an 8 to 1 in the morning shift or something. It was a real low point.
If you can answer that, you can answer what family stays up till 1:30 a.m. at a family restaurant.
Well, I don't know if it was that late, but it was probably open till 11, and then there was about an hour or two of cleanup.
Right. Gotta wipe them off. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Thanks, man. Right. Brandon Crow.
Yes.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is Tim Heidecker?
Yes, sir.
Oh, spaghetti.
All right.
How's it going, sir?
Good. How are you?
Hey, this is great talking to you. You're one of my heroes. No.
Thank you so much.
Very. This is kind of surreal. I just want to say, I'll keep it short, that I think the comedy is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. Like, your acting in that is just superb.
Thank you very much. I'm not here to receive compliments.
You want some angry things said to you?
Well, no, I just, I don't, this isn't meant to be just an ass kissing session, but I do appreciate it. How about that?
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I'll keep it short. It's great.
Thanks so
much.
Thanks, Brandon.
I never knew. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon. Take care. Marius Carl Müller.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. You're coming through a little hot, but I'll take the call anyway. Go ahead. What can I do for you?
I'll turn it down, maybe. Maybe it's too close. My microphone is too close to my mouth. Nothing really. I just wanted to say hello and thank you. That's mostly it. And
well, let me talk about, because I know you guys know I love talking about music, and I wanted to tell a little bit about the recording process on Sunday for the Richard Spencer song and this other song that's coming out next week. I called up my buddy Jonathan Rado from Foxygen. I said, listen, this is a long shot, but I got this song I want to record, and are you around on Sunday? Can I come over? And he luckily was like, yeah, I'm around. And I said, great, I just want to do this sort of Plastic Ono Band style recording of this song, keep it really simple, but elevate the recording of it beyond what I'm capable of. So he said, I got a couple of guys who would be perfect for this. Let me set it up. Sunday, I go over there, I drive up to his place, and he's got this garage studio. I've been there before, and he's produced a bunch of records this year, and they all sound great. And he's got an old board, and he's got a 2-inch tape machine. And this is really just for audio heads that are listening now to really get how much I would be interested in this. And these two guys come in, Max and Kane are their names, and I didn't know them before, young guys. They come in, and Rado's got this set up in his garage where it's almost like the Motown studio or something, where it's a pretty small space, but he's worked everything out so that you've got drums and the bass and a little upright piano, all capable of recording at the same time. So live tracking in the room, so everyone can play together. And so I show the song to everybody. It's a pretty simple song. It's not that complicated. But right away, these guys, I mean, you hear it on the record, they're making the tastiest choices. They're making little fills and little lines with the bass. And Rado's playing the piano, and he's doing little runs and stuff. And, you know, we do it about four times, and I'm sitting there on the corner on the side doing a scratch vocal track. So no one's wearing headphones. There's not a lot of, there's no click track or anything. It's live playing. We get four or five takes of it, and we're taping over the takes because Raider doesn't want to use a lot of tape. So we're like, that was good. Let's try it again. Back up the tape, record over it. We eventually hit on the five, maybe three or maybe five takes. I don't know how much it was. Go, that's the take. You know, that's the one. So we lock it in, go back. I do my vocal track. I only did the vocal like three times, maybe three shots at it. Cause like I said, I've been singing, warming up, doing the takes. Did a little piano overdub where we did a little high piano. What else? Some backing vocals. And, you know, in an hour, maybe like 2 hours, Rado did a little guitar playing on it. It was done. It was mixed. It was ready to print. Now, could we go back in there and tweak a little bit, do a little EQ, add a little brightness to it, whatever? Sure. But I was like, I want to get this out tonight. And these guys, these players were so damn good. And the next record I do, whenever I can do it, it's going to be me, Rado, these two guys. And it was so much fun, and I love making music. I love it. All right, Marius?
You love talking about it as well, that's for sure.
I take that as an insult.
No, not at all.
Thank you. Where are you calling from, Deutschland?
I'm coming in from the Canary Islands, actually, Las Palmas.
Oh, my God.
What's going on? Sunny side. It's my job that took me down here. I'm originally from Denmark, but then I moved down here. I just wanted to...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about... because you've been talking so much. Maybe you have talked about this. I'm not quite sure. I've been listening to a lot of the episodes. But how do you feel about Frank Zappa? Because there's been all this talk about like Grateful Dead and Ween and stuff that I've heard.
Yeah, I know. I don't... I do... I like... I generally think what Frank Zappa has to say. I read his book and I've watched his interviews, and so I kind of like him, but I never could get into his music. I don't like his music.
No, okay. Is it too like boys, kind of like cocks and tits and all?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I just never dug it, and it was too proggy or weird, or I don't know. Just didn't. It got weird. It just, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't know if I've given it a real chance, you know, but
no?
I don't know. Maybe I'll just, nothing
just
I've ever heard.
I've listened to, all the music that you recommended and all the other things that come in here. And like, whenever I go back to Frank Zappa, like the old Yes, Fragile, you talked about that. I just like, I really dig it a lot. So I don't know.
I'll listen. What should I listen to? Give me a recommendation.
I don't know. I mean, Joe's Garage is a killer album of Zappa in New York. It's also very good. Apostrophe, Overnight Sensation. I mean, it's all like very different. And some of his early stuff with Mothers of Invention is also, but it's very experimental sometimes. It's,
I'll give it a shot. I'm a sucker for like a simple song, you know, that's why I love Randy. I love Randy Newman and Warren Zevon and the band and Dylan. And
yeah.
I like I'm like a nursery rhyme guy. I'm like a church choir guy, where it's like I like a you know, children's songs, or I like it stripped down to the bone.
Yeah. But I think Saba has that a lot of, like, in some of his tracks, they're very, like, they have that melody that you love and, like, some catchy phrases. And I mean, and all sometimes right. It's just him staying with the telecom and, yeah, whatever.
I'll check it out. And,
all right.
Be well, be safe.
You too, Tim. Love you.
Take care. Love you. R Butt Bob. Hello. R Butt Bob.
Yeah, I don't know why it says that on my Skype account. I think I set that up years ago and I thought it was funny and I'm a little embarrassed now. So I'm not Butt Bob.
Okay, well, what's your name and how can I help you today?
My name is Joel. I'm from San Francisco and I heard you talking about music and I just bought a record player and I'm starting to collect a lot of vinyl. And so I was curious if you're a vinyl guy and if you are, what are some of the like must-have vinyls in your collection?
I try to be a vinyl guy, but I'm too much of a sucker for convenience. So I got my house all wired up with the Sonos system, and I don't know. I've got a record player. I don't really use it very much. If I want to listen to, you know, Darkness on the Edge of Town, I have it on vinyl because if I see something, I'll pick it up sometimes, but. You know, I'm just going to put it on through the Apple Music or whatever.
So you don't like to get up, walk over to the record player, flip a record.
No.
It's not all right. I'm not into it.
Not as important to me. I don't get in. I know I have friends that do and I respect them and sometimes it's fun and sometimes I go back to doing that, but yeah.
Okay.
I like to have the records cuz I like that big image and stuff and looking at it and stuff, but I'm not a big vinyl head.
It's a fun collection item, and so I think sometimes it's more decoration than it is actual convenience. So that's a good point.
All right,
one more question for you about so Uma Ma is my favorite sketch from your old show, and I've always wondered what any sort of inspiration that you guys took for that, or was there like an inciting moment that made you guys think to put those elements together in a sketch?
I'm going to put you on a little bit of a scavenger hunt. Because I have discussed this on several occasions. Not to be rude, I just don't want to. I don't want to tell stories that people might have heard that are listening. So it's out there. Probably I told it on this cast. Use the internet. Use everything you need to find that story.
All right, then. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll take a couple more calls, then I got to run. What's going on there? Who is this, Rama?
Hey, Tim, how are you doing, man?
Good, man. Hey, listen, let me ask you something. What are you afraid of?
You know, just afraid of, I have a baby coming, you know.
Oh, man.
I have a 2.5-year-old and, you know, just found out the other day I was, my wife is pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
And, oh, man, thanks a lot. But it kind of is freaking me out a little bit. And, you know, I know you have two kids, so, you know, I wanted some advice. You know, one of the reasons I called was to ask you, you know, man, how do you do it? Because, you know, you're such a successful professional, you know, you do so many things, got so many things going on. And I was just wondering, man, how do you do it? I mean, how has life changed for you after you had your second kid?
All credit to my wife, who does so much, you know, of the rearing and especially with the new baby, because that's really about the mother and baby. Their connection during those first few months is good. But I'm very fortunate to have good kids and they're healthy and they're fun to be around. So I don't see it too much as work. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm out trying to make a living and working as much as I can. And without burning myself out, so we're sharing the burdens and enjoying our family.
Man, that's great to hear. So I have my deal is I'm a geophysicist, and
so am I. Let's just be clear about
that. So, you know, I go to a 9-to-5 job. It's that kind of a deal. But, you know, with the oil prices kind of bad, our company has had to let go of like half of the workforce. So whoever is remaining, we are kind of picking up the slack. And then I'm trying to start a little company on the side. And when I go home, you know, it's I have to spend time with my family and also, you know, devote some time to my company. So just a lot of things going on. Hey, but let me tell you one thing, Tim.
Well, you shouldn't be calling into my show. Down, what's that?
I'm sorry?
I said you shouldn't be calling into my show. Seems like you know that's what, not Tim? Well to spend time.
The thing is that, you know, whenever I have been, you know, like going through some tough times in the past or, you know, like when I was down, I would just, you know, put on Tim and Eric Nightlife, you know, they have the YouTube clips and or, you know, I have like DVDs of Tim and Eric show and I'm telling you, my or, you know, the Oscar special and never fail to, you know, pick me up and, you know, it's been great. And
it's very nice to hear. Thank you.
You know, everything you've done for comedy. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I know you're going to do great. You sound like a good guy. Things are going to work out great for you and your family. You're going to be so glad.
Hey, I saw you in the Dal show. Yeah. And it was great. And yeah, thank you for all your wishes. And hey, keep doing what you're doing, man. And, you know, and oh, by the way, just one quick question. Are we going to have an Oscar special this year?
Y-E-S.
All right, man. That's great.
All right.
That's
take
amazing,
care.
Amazing, man. Yeah. All right.
See you later. Feral Audio.